It gives me great pleasure to introduce Kristen W. from Los Alamos.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen, alcoholic.
Hi, Kristen.
So I'm terrible at speaking, and I'm just going to put that out there, so I apologize in advance. But I'm going to start with this. So our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. So here's my story. I was born into a family deep-rooted in alcoholism, to the point my great-grandmother was a bootlegger during Prohibition. My mom is very annoying normie, where she can like stop drinking her drink midway if she's feeling anything from it and does. But my dad's side of the family is a whole nother ball of wax. So growing up, my home life was really, really erratic. I suffer from anxiety, and I have my entire life, and it's directly caused from just how I endured like the moments growing up and just everything going on in our life with my dad, he was just full-fledged alcoholic. Around like the time where my memory started developing, around like 4 or 5 years old, my mom developed epilepsy and had mental illness that occurred with that. And so that made just everything else in the house just even more chaotic and unstructured. My dad, he would work all day, and then as soon as he came home, he would start drinking. And then he would just, if he wasn't working, he would drink from the moment he woke up until he passed out. And my mom's saying with him was always, you know, don't touch an angry tiger with a stick. And with that, you know, I was a really good kid, a really good teen. I'm an only child, so, you know, growing up, it was desperately lonely at times. And, you know, I also took the brunt of a lot of my father's anger, abuse, and control. My mom's the complete enabler. Wasn't until the day my dad dies, and she still enables me, and I have to catch myself in moments realizing that now. But my parents were high school sweethearts. They'd been together since they were 16 years old, and their maturity kind of ended there. So like every close friendship I ever had, my mom would basically sabotage. She still tries to this day, but we're on a different kind of playing ground now. And, you know, she just was very jealous. And then with that, my dad was overly controlling where he didn't have to be. And so again, growing up, it was just stressful, abusive, and lonely. And I learned from a really young age how to seek positive attention at any cost from anyone. And it's still something that I grapple with. So kind of getting more into my drinking. My first relationship began when I was in high school and didn't end until well after I was in college. The relationship was exactly the same relationship, like mirrored as my parents, but it was worse. It was horribly abusive, and you know, I stayed in the relationship because I just thought that that's what you do no matter what in a relationship. And during that, my boyfriend's parents, they were European, so it was really normal for us to responsibly drink at dinner. And not responsibly drinking meant that we couldn't drink at all. So we just really kind of bordered on there. And I was still really young, really naive in high school and then starting college. And other than that, like just growing up, I drank with my family, but I never really counted it towards drinking. The first time I can like clearly remember drinking more than like a sip or, you know, a few sips out of a glass, I was 7, and it was at my aunt's wedding, and it was like this huge to-do wedding, and I was just kind of pushed aside in all the shuffle, which is normal, but I was 7, so I saw it in a different way. And so I was drinking champagne, and I just kept drinking and drinking and drinking to numb it and just to cope with my feelings at the time. And that's kind of the relationship that I've always had with alcohol. It's been something to cope with the dark times. So when things were good, it really wasn't an issue. When I was curious about, like, when I was curious starting off drinking, I was very cautious. I knew what my family had in front of me. I knew that, you know, everyone were alcoholics, and, you know, I had family members that had died of alcoholism. So it was a really deep family issue. And then in later years, my grandfather and my mother's side started drinking very heavily out of nowhere. So it kind of did eventually end up kind of spawning on both sides. What was odd, though, about when I started drinking, as cautious as I was, in the back of my mind, I always just wanted to get wasted and pass out. Like, it wasn't like I wanted to just drink normally with people. I wanted to achieve that goal so I could pass out, and I don't, you know, I learned well what that was in the years after, but my junior year of college, I moved away from home, from California to Arizona, and that was really the year it all started, my alcoholism and just everything else. I mean, as a kid, I would definitely say I was very addicted to sugar. I wasn't allowed to have it, and it was very controlled. So I would take my babysitting money, and I would go and buy hordes and hordes of it and just eat it all day at school and all afternoon. So that really was my first addiction. But then coming up to 1999, that was my junior year, and when I had transferred to the biggest party school in the nation, which was ASU. That year also was a big year for people kind of that were partying to do a lot of ecstasy. And so I tried that for the first time and thought that that was a lot of fun for the next year until it wasn't. And but within there, within that year, my junior year, I really, almost every time I drank, I was completely drunk. I was kind of getting to be known as a drunk, and it was just, and I was doing drugs and just being chaotic. At the end of my junior year living in Arizona, my parents were beyond worried about me, and they said that I needed to move home. So going home, I was miserable living with my folks, and I got back together with the boyfriend that I had dated all through high school and, you know, was still in college, and he was just the boyfriend from hell. He was absolutely abusive. Again, it was just a very mirror image of the relationship that my parents had together, and then I was recreating. And within that, I just started drinking a lot. When I moved back to Santa Barbara, I got a job at a really popular restaurant downtown. And so every night, the staff and I, we would go out and get drunk at all the bars. And, you know, we knew everybody because everyone was around 21 years of age. And it was just a time in our life. But I never could handle, like, the partying like everybody else could. I would drink with others, and they held their own. And for me, it was like I would just black out and pass out and just have the constant conversation with my friends of, okay, we're going to take you out tonight, but you cannot get wasted tonight. Like, you have to drink responsibly. And I would try. I never had the intent of getting drunk, but it just always happened, and was always, you know, one of those things. Right before I turned 22, my grandmother passed away, and I left the awful boyfriend. And it was, I felt like it was the first time in my life I was really free. I was making friends. I still had my friends from Arizona. I had bought a condo with one of my best friends in Arizona, so I would go back there every month to go and see everybody, as well as I was working out here and living a great life out here. But I was on, you know, I was really a recluse, and I was known as Crazy Kristen, which, you know, I was always, like, the very, like, modest person during the day, but at night I'd do anything while I was drinking or while I was drunk. And, you know, there were many trips to the ER for getting roofied, which really was just me knowing better that I just got drunk, but I wanted an excuse for it, or accidents happening to me while I was drunk that ended up being pretty serious over time. My second long-term boyfriend in my mid-20s, he was really, he had a lot of self-control, and he basically stopped allowing me to drink. And so Arizona every month was like my way that I would be able to drink, but the rest of the time I would go clean. But when I went, you know, went for it, I went all for it, and I was just passed out in a blubbery mess, and it was horrible. After that relationship ended, it ended at the same time that I was in a really bad car accident that had to do with drinking and driving. My best friend, it was her her birthday, and she and her boyfriend came out from Arizona. We went up wine tasting for the day. He said that he would be the DD, and we didn't know that he was drinking. Later, it was found by a CHP officer that he had gone into a liquor store in Los Olivos and had chugged a bottle of Jack Daniels right in front of the camera and drove us home down the pass. And unfortunately for him and my best friend, they did not survive. And I barely survived by a thread. I was the least likely to in the whole car. So after that, I had a lot of survivor's guilt and kind of like a loss of just wanting to live my life. I was just hopeless. And, you know, I was in my mid-20s, and I was told I would never run again, never exercise, like to the point that I was a triathlon at the time before the car accident. So it just really, like, broke up everything I knew in my life. And my drinking just progressed and progressed and progressed. And finally, after one weekend, it was my, must have been 2006, it was my 10-year high school reunion. I went out to the bars, and one morning I woke up on the floor of a hotel room with a whole bunch of guys that were bikers, and I had spent the night with them. I will say, I don't think anything happened, but I was on the floor, like, made my own bed. But I ended up the next day, after brunch and cocktails, thinking it was a great idea to go back to Las Vegas with them. And so I hopped on the back of the motorcycle, and I went to Vegas. And so when I called, you know, a few friends, when I was flying back, you know, a couple days later, and my parents, they all wondered what the hell, you know, had happened to the last sanity that I had left. So when I flew down, my mom had gone, she had picked me up, and I said I needed to get into AA. So she took me down to headquarters in Santa Barbara. I knew nothing about the program. And there was a really sweet woman working that said, I'll meet you at the meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. And it was a great women's meeting at a little church down by Mission Street. And that was the beginning of it for me. And so anyway, I went through that. I was very successful in it. And then still, I was still hanging on to a lot of friends that were my party friends, and I was doing that as, like, a back out. And I really hadn't hit my full rock bottom yet, and so people really kind of questioned my alcoholism, and I started questioning it, which is all too easy to do when you're trying to be in it. And so I went back out, and I went back out for quite a few years. With that, moved to Hawaii. I lived in Maui for a while, had my daughter, came back, ended a very awful divorce. And, you know, I was drinking. I was drinking every night, but I wasn't passing out every night, so it kind of played tricks with me. But there were nights that I did pass out with my daughter, who was a baby, crying, and you know, there's times with broken wine glasses and just all sorts of horrible things. So once she was around 4 years old, I had a really good friend that I had worked with for years, and she now has, I think, 30 something years of sobriety. And I said, I need to go to a meeting with you. So she took me to the meeting, and I got rejoined up with Alcoholics Anonymous, was back on my way, was, you know, part of the board in solving for the Alano, and, you know, was secretary at meetings, had a lot of commitments, really valued my place there. But then I did something in my first year that, you know, you're told not to, which really should be a rule, not just a suggestion, but I started dating someone else in the program, and he had less sobriety than I had. So, you know, as time went on, we eventually, you know, tried out drinking and realized very quickly that it wasn't something that worked well for either one of us. And once I had had that first drop again, I just couldn't stop myself. And from that point, I went for years just battling not drinking. And it was the hardest thing. And I would try everything to just not drink. And, you know, it finally took me ending an extremely abusive relationship again, and, you know, just losing everything. I mean, I literally, towards the end of my drinking, I couldn't stand up. I couldn't walk because my kidneys and my liver were too sore. I basically knew I was going to die within, like, a couple of weeks if I didn't get sober, and I sat with it. And I finally, you know, just out of desperation, I called my mom, and I knew that our insurance wouldn't cover me going to Casa Serena, but she had dreamed of me being sober my entire adult life. And so I was very fortunate that she upped the money and put me through Casa Serena, which had always been my safe haven. It's a recovery house for women down in Santa Barbara. But from the first whiff of AA when I was down there, that had been my home group. It had just always been a really safe and sacred spot for me. And so I went through rehab there. Unfortunately, I couldn't stay after the rehab, where they have like a home called Millie's that they can kind of get you back into regular life, because I have a daughter and I had to go home. And, you know, it was the first, you know, when I was home, it wasn't just day by day and it wasn't just hour by hour, but there were minutes by minutes. And I went to, it was a requirement for myself that I had put on myself to go to 3 meetings a day. You know, the 2 times before, I had tried going to 1 meeting every day and then wouldn't really follow through. And this time it was like, I need to go every day as much as I can until I just get rid of this. And I started going to as many meetings as possible. I was really lucky in January to be able to go to New York, which was really inspirational. And my cousin that was with me, she's also sober and in the program. So it meant a lot to us as a family to go together. With that, I've joined, you know, I have tons of commitments right now. I have way more than I really need, but it keeps me busy and it keeps me going to meetings. And then also things that are different this time around. I've been going to therapy. I see my therapist at least once a week. I have a psychiatrist as well. You know, I'm on the medications that are here to help me. And I'm not too good to take them anymore, too good to say you know, I am for them. And I've just really humbled myself down to absolutely, you know, as little as I can. And that's really what it takes for me, is just, you know, absolute, just hourly dedication to this program right now. I will have 1 year on 10-10-25. And yeah, hopefully it'll be many years to come after that, but I'm just appreciative for every single day. that I've had so far and that I continue to maintain. So thank you very much.
Thanks. All right, how about another round of applause? Thank you for speaking tonight. Anybody who would like to come up after the meeting and thank the speaker personally is more than welcome to.